I'm John Batchelor with my colleague, Professor Richard Epstein, a senior fellow for the Hoover Institution, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago, writing in Defining Ideas about the presidency. But we turn to the vice presidency, which I declare this is the year of the three vice presidents, Richard. We have Vice President Harris, who is running for higher office. We have Governor Waltz of Minnesota, who is running for the vice presidency. And we have Senator Vance of Ohio, who is running for the vice presidency. The three vice presidents. The most recent is the governor of Minnesota. And I'm interested in your observation of his presentation so far and the choice by Vice President Harris.
Okay, well, I mean, choices like this work on multiple dimensions, so it's always hard to read it. But if you looked at this a month ago, I don't even think Waltz was on the short list because nobody knew about him. But it turns out one of the things that she prizes is a person who could land a punch on Donald Trump and his team without getting hit back. And calling Donald Trump weird, a description which has increasing credibility in the eyes of more and more people, was the thing that started to galvanize it. So that's one point. The second point is she had to worry about the control of the Senate. And one of the things that might have doomed Kelly is if he's running for president, he's not active in the Senate, that control slips away. And there'll have to be another election, and it could slip away even further. He's a pretty impressive guy, but she didn't want to take that choice. Maybe she may well have been wrong. I just don't know. The third thing is, does she want to go to a base, or does she want to go to the middle? And with Waltz, what she thought she could get the best of both worlds. He's got this amiable, folksy style and so forth. He has a reference and pretty distinguished record with respect to his relationship to China. But on the other hand, if you look at his Minnesota position, he's very much like her, and she's very much like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. And I think she has come to the judgment that given the massive change in the sentiments of the Democratic Party after ancient and creaky Joe Biden puts himself aside, and she, you know, 22 years younger, transforms the political basis, she thought that if she doubles down with respect to the progressive side of Tim Walz, she may not be able to have to worry about so much about the Trump support. And remember, there are two features about this. One is the number of anti-Trump voters out there is probably a minimum of 40% of the electorate. These are people you couldn't even talk to try to persuade them. It would take basically a literal earthquake to have them vote for him. And running for president when you got 40% of the population against you is really kind of terrible, even if you got 35% of the people on your side, because you've got that 25% in the middle. And you don't know which way they're going to go. But I think one of the things they're betting upon is that the age issue is now very serious and very salient. It's perfectly clear to me that Trump has lost a step, maybe two, maybe even three. And once you start losing steps at 78, it's the same thing as at 81 for different people. It means, in effect, that it's only going to deteriorate more rapidly. So they may think they can get the independents anyhow, not because they will be pro-Harris or pro-Waltz, but because essentially the answer. And so if they can basically stir out the base and let Trump lose the middle, it's a winning calculation. I think that Kamala Harris is one of the least qualified persons to run for president in the history of the world. I don't think she has any business being up on the ticket, but, you know, I'm one voter out of many. But what she does is she's kind of projects an infectious enthusiasm and turns away from all sorts of substantive issues. And she will make this campaign about nothing on her side, so that everything turns on Trump and his deteriorating tradition. And I think she believes that Waltz will help with that. And in my own sense, I think it's right. I'll just mention one other thing. If you ask, you know, who votes for whom, roughly speaking, there are two kinds of issues when you're dealing with a presidential election. There's character on the one hand and there's policy on the other. And if you ask people who vote on carrot, the way Trump comes out, he loses more than 2-1. People just think he's sleazy. If you ask about policies against Joe Biden, he wins 2-1 because people even then realize that he was just a kind of creaky, obsolete supporter of Bernie Sanders. And it turned out he was a miserable commander-in-chief of Afghanistan. He doesn't know what to do in the Middle East. There's not a single growth policy. Even people like Paul Krugman are talking about recession and so forth. And so you vote for Trump. Well, now it turns out you get the new situation, and you're not sure that You know what Trump's policies are. You kind of think he's worse on the character side. So the people who wanted to hire him for managerial superiority may be diminishing in numbers. So I regard the Republican campaign as very parlous. There's one thing that can turn it around in the short run, and that's mayhem at the convention. It turns out at the Republican convention...
We've got 30 seconds, Professor.
At the Republican convention, there's not one word of support for Hamas. At the Democratic convention, it's there, and people like Cori Bush and Jamal Bowman are very, very active on this. And so even if you get the two of them, the argument will be, we've already got genocide, Josh, but now what we have to do is to make the Democratic Party a very strong ally, Hamas and the Palestinian cause. That's the biggest worry that the Democrats have to face, how they finesse that issue.
Professor Richard Epstein, the Hoover Institution.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.